truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Just begin to drill more. To drill offshore, to drill here, to drill there, to liquefy coal. To go with oil shale and...
I think all my whole family's dead.
Okay, tell me what's going on, Sarah.
I believe that a public option will be essential to our passing.
I think that there is a place for the President of the United States to
lesbian, talk. Lesbian, your mom's a lesbian.
You son of a bitch.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. When the stars come out, baby, the bullcrap ends here. Truth is our bitch on this show. And what does that mean? Well, what it means essentially is that the Republicans and Democrats, we don't care if they all drop dead tomorrow. As a matter of fact, we'd all be better off if they all drop dead tomorrow. As a matter of fact, we might sing and dance. And it might rain lemonade if they all drop dead tomorrow. In fact, things might just instantaneously get better if we didn't have those bastards to deal with ever again. However, you know, being a realist, I realize that isn't likely to happen anytime soon. But on this program, what we try to do is tell you what's going on, and we don't give a damn whether it's liberal or conservative. We don't label those things that way. We don't call ourselves independents. We're free-thinking people. We're white, we're black, we're pink, we're orange. We're not brown or yellow. Because we are racist that way.
Really?
No, I'm just making a joke, okay? And by the way, Bud, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You know that gummy bear box or whatever that crap is? What is that stuff?
Dude, this is bitchin'. It's gummy. Well, they're like gummy sticks.
Gummy sticks, really? When you lay them on that keyboard, it knocks the video cast off the air. You realize that?
I only put it there.
Yeah, it did, man. I saw it do it about a minute ago or maybe longer.
I didn't put it over there.
You did, and it knocked the video cast off the air. They keep telling me we're off the air, off the air, off the air. That's because you're laying that gummy bear box. Give me that.
Here's the gummy bear.
Get out of here with a gummy bear box. Don't put it on that key, man. It knocks the video cast off the air, which we are currently and every night airing here on our website, philhendryshow.com. It is a video of the show. And you can also see that, and you can listen to the audio, and you hear the audio on demand. Just one final thing about the Muhammad cartoon, because I missed this. Fareed Zakaria with CNN, he's actually a pretty decent reporter. I think he's a pretty open-minded guy. But he said at the tail end of this Muhammad cartoon article where Yale University Press doesn't want to print these cartoons because they're afraid there's going to be violence. And, well, we deeply do believe in the First Amendment. Yes, we deeply do. But we don't want to have violence. And so in this case, we won't have First Amendment rights. We'll just sort of freedom of speech our way under the door. And he agrees because he says, now dig this, as a journalist and a public commentator, I believe deeply in the First Amendment and academic freedom. Bull crap. But in this instance, Yale Press was confronted with a clear threat of violence and loss of life. No, they weren't. They went out and they asked some opinions of some people who pulled their noses up out of their yogurt long enough to say, well, I probably, yes, I wouldn't. They didn't know what they were being asked. Probably somebody sitting there sweating really heavy, just made it in from Yale. You know, they got off the bus. They said, Professor, I really have to have an answer to this question until I get back my class, and I got to get a grade on this thing. Do you think there's a threat of violence if we put the Muhammad cartoon? Well, yes, I think they're. Okay, thank you. And then they're gone. And then Fareed Zakaria, he picks up on this. He reprints it in Newsweek International, and everybody's ready to lose their freaking mutt over this thing. Come on. Anyway, public option essential on health care. We'll get into that here in just a second here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, a mayor defends an email that he forwarded that critics called anti-Muslim. And we'll also be talking about Obama's speech to the school kids and how he brainwashed the hell out of them. How they're all little goose-stepping robots now. And we'll talk about Van Jones. As was predicted, he got fired this weekend. And when I say he got fired, he got fired. And all's well that ends well. He doesn't have a job. And is he really a solid cat? Maybe. But any guy that signs a petition questioning whether the U.S. government had something to do with 9/11 and he puts his name to it and he doesn't read it, I don't know if I really want that guy in a public job. I don't know that I want to see my tax dollars going to some screwball like that. Anybody that signs any petition, you can believe what you want. Nobody says you can't believe what you want to believe, but I don't have to pay you in a public job to do some kind of a gig about getting green. I don't even know what the job was that this guy was going to have, getting green jobs or making jobs greener, or maybe he's going to get greener, or maybe he just got tired of all of this debate over black and white and he just wants to be green. I mean, literally. But whatever the gig is, I don't think I personally feel like paying his ass because he sounds like a weird ass. And that's just me. Okay, so what happened today? The United States Congress returned to work on a health care overhaul as a bipartisan Senate group sought a compromise, and a House of Representatives speaker by the name of Nancy Pelosi said a government-run insurance option is essential to pass that. Well, you know what she said. Look, I don't know. I'm not bad-mouthing the speaker. She's working hard. She's doing the best she can. But the fact is, and this is not by way of intense criticism of the speaker. Do you remember the Clint Eastwood movie? You know, he always had those lines coming out of movies like, what was the one movie he did?
Yeah, I love the one about, go ahead, make my day.
Yeah, go ahead, make my day. What was the other one, Robert?
Do you feel lucky, punk?
Do you feel lucky, punk? He had another one that didn't take off, but I always liked it. I think it was from Magnum Force, and it went, man's got to know his limitations, you know? Well, I think that this is true when it comes to certain people in Congress. You just got to know your limitations. You just got to know what you're good at and what you're not good at. And the Speaker and Senator Reid and some others have limitations. One of the limitations they have is being able to articulate to a wide variety of Americans, not just Democrats, not just liberals, but to all Americans, why this is a very valuable thing, encouraging a public option in the entire healthcare plan. She doesn't know how to do that. I understand, as I said, you got to know your limitations. And Speaker Pelosi's limitations are that I'm not sure she quite gets it, but she wants to appear as if she's supporting President Obama. So she went out along with Boxer and made some, I thought, very unfortunate comments about, well, we want to support the president. That just rubs people the wrong way. I'm not saying that it's a mortal sin to say you support Barack Obama. What I'm saying is in the current political climate, it's not a smart thing to say. I mean, you got to know how to negotiate these troubled waters. And if you want to sell something, make sure you don't say the wrong thing. I mean, that's just where it is. That's just where it's at. Don't say this is the president's plan. And the president so wishes that we all jump on board to push the president's plan forward because it bugs a lot of people. OK, and I just want to see this thing get moving forward a little bit and not get bogged down in a lot of personality stuff. And Pelosi doesn't quite know how to say it, man. Her and the rest of that crew, when they start talking about the insurance companies are all evil and all these other things that just piss off people that are pro-business, it's not selling it. So what happened? I'll tell you what happened. And you can take this to the bank. Her and Reid both got called to the White House today, as we knew that they would. Now, I don't know if this was announced earlier or not, but as soon as they got called to the White House, I knew full well what was going to be happening. They were going to get their asses torn. They were going to be told by Obama, you've screwed the dog enough on this thing, now let's get it going. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out there, and what's this stuff about the public option? Maybe, maybe not. The public option's in. It's always been in. There it is. We're selling it. We're pushing it through. Have we got a majority in there, or don't we? Well, yes, Mr. President. Well, then start working it. Well, but Mr. President, you don't understand. Oh, I understand plenty, okay? I might not have been in the Senate for 50 years, but I was in there long enough. I know how the game's played. You, Reid. You and that whip, get your asses in gear and get some votes going. You, Pelosi, let's go, go, go. I've been getting my ass ripped six ways to sunset for the last 30 days. This is what Obama's telling them. For 30 days, they have been pillaring me. They have been tar and feathering me, calling me a Marxist, calling me a socialist, calling me a commie, talking about me brainwashing little tiny kids, saying that my wife's got too many people on her staff, talking about whether I was born here or in Kenya or on the moon or in Africa. I mean, they are ripping me every which way but loose. Now, I want you jackasses to do something, anything, to earn your money. I don't care if you just show up with a new hairdo or something, Nancy. Get in there and get this thing done. We got a majority in the United States Congress, and we're going to get it done, or so help me God. And if Obama was thinking clearly, and I think probably he was. See, a lot of people don't like it when I say that Obama is smarter than a lot of these people that support him. But he is. A lot of people say, you really give this guy a break, don't you? Why don't you rip him instead of all the people that are surrounding him? Because I don't believe it. I'd say it if I believed it, but I don't. That's too easy. And that's exactly the default argument that most people fall to when something's going wrong with this White House. They always say, well, Obama's the turd in the punch bowl. Obama's the guy that... That may seem obvious to some people. That is not the case. That's not the way I see it. No, man. I took a long look at this guy, okay? I wasn't all blissed out over Barack Obama when I was watching this guy in the campaign. I was listening to him. I was watching him. I was sizing this guy up. He's not an idiot. He's not a stupid man. What he does do, and I don't know whether this is him reading Team Arrivals or whether because he has such an admiration for Abraham Lincoln, I don't know what it is, but he does delegate an awful lot of stuff that he probably shouldn't. He delegated that whole stimulus to the Congress. You might as well have given a bunch of monkeys a typewriter and asked them to write Macbeth, right? You know, they say you give enough. If you have enough monkeys working on enough typewriters, sooner or later you come up with Hamlet, right? Well, we ain't got that kind of time. All right, here is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She says the House will pass a health care bill if it includes the public option.
I believe that a public option will be essential to our passing a bill in the House of Representatives. Because as the president has said, and I listened to him very carefully, he believes that the public option is the best way to keep the insurance companies honest and to increase competition in order to lower cost, improve quality, retain choice. If you like what you have, you can keep it, and expand coverage in a fiscally sound way, that it saves money. And that's why, but he said, if you have a better idea, put it on the table.
Is that what he said? Maybe he could come out and tell us himself. What do you think? Anyway, she got the gist right, I guess. On MSNBC, Representative Robert Andrews, he's a Democrat from New Jersey, says he wants a public option. Yeah, sure, but is willing to vote for a health care bill without one.
I think the public option's the best way, but I think passing something that protects consumers and regulates insurers and covers the uninsured is what we have to do. So I'm not drawing lines in the sand here, but I strongly prefer the public option.
Would you support a plan without a public option?
I don't want to answer a hypothetical question. I want to fight for a plan that has a public option. I want to argue for it. But I want to work with the president and pass something. Yeah, I would if I had to, sure, but I'd rather have the public option in it.
All right, now here's Senator Joe Lieberman. You know, he's an independent from Connecticut, used to be a Democrat, then supported McCain. He's all over he's like me. He's all over the road. Tells MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell that the public doesn't want a public option.
This debate is going in the wrong direction. There's a critical national need for health care, health insurance reform. And the question is, are people going to continue to fight for elements of it that are not attainable? Are they going to try to find common ground?
You mean the public option.
Yeah, the public option.
I mean a government-run health insurance plan.
What about the public option?
The public doesn't support it. They know that ultimately taxpayers will pay for it. They don't want us to add to the debt. They feel that the existing system, private insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, does pretty well.
Hey, Billy, what about the public option?
Cat urine!
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PILL. Phil. It's a pill, all right, though. 877-876-PHIL. The public option. What's the public option? I'll explain when we come back, because a lot of you guys are flipping out, and I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I'm going to explain it, and a lot of people are going to say, well, I already know, Phil. Well, no, you don't really know. No, you don't really know. So we'll get to it here when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Johnny Henry. Diablo.
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. That's the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, and you can call. And by the way, for those of you watching the video cast, you can see a little birthday present I got. There it is, my Zippo, top of the morning to you. Zippo lighter. It's green with a little shamrock there. And so that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I want to get one of them too.
Fine, bud. You go out and buy one then.
Okay.
What do you got to comment on everything, man? No, nobody cares. You want one.
I'm giving a comment on account I'm the intern.
You don't have to comment on everything that I do, all right? That's my lighter. Go out and buy one if you want. No one cares if you do.
Right. You're not supposed to comment. Well, I did.
In any event, so you heard what Pelosi said, and And again, that's a whole other discussion. I don't dislike the speaker. I'm just trying to tell you guys, this is not a. I don't think this woman's quite up to speed. I don't think Harry Reid's quite up to speed of this stuff. Did you see Reid when he walked away from that microphone after the press conference today? They got their asses chewed out. I got news for you. They got their asses chewed out by Obama. He looked like a dog that had been kicked. He's walking away from the microphone with his hand in his pocket, and he's just all looking kind of, you know, sour, and it probably wasn't a very pleasant morning. All right, so I was going to tell you, what is the public option? Oh, I got to have a public option. What's the public option? The public option? You know the public option? Well, sure, the public option. Here's the public option. This is what it means. This is what it means. You ready? Here it goes. On the one side, you have private insurance. You may have private insurance. You have private insurance. You like your private insurance. Keep your private insurance. You have your private insurance. Now, understand something. The difference between a future health care plan and what we have today is health care insurance will be a legal requirement. That's the difference between today and some foreseeable future where we have a new healthcare model in place. It will be a legal requirement. You must have health insurance. You must have health insurance for yourself. And if you have children, you must have health insurance for your children. You must have health insurance for your dependents. Why is this? Well, why is it that we have any kind of requirement for insurance? Why is it? Why is it that we have a requirement for auto insurance? Why? To reduce the liability, to reduce what it costs somebody else. You understand? If you don't have auto insurance and you get your car destroyed, or more to the point, if you run somebody over and you burn up a family of five in a blazing gasoline accident that explodes and burns a whole city block, and you don't have any insurance, who's going to pay for the family that got burned alive in that Pinto? Who's paying for the houses that burned to the ground? Who's paying for the guy that drove the gasoline truck and he's out with a busted collarbone and his head's in five different pieces? Who's paying for this? Well, you ain't, because you haven't got any insurance. Now the liability falls to who? All the other insurance companies involved, see? And all the other insurance companies eat that cost. This is before, obviously, we had required auto insurance. And they eat the cost to a point, but as you know, and as I know, and as we all know, nobody just swallows the cost of something without trying to get some of that money back. They got to get it back somehow. They aren't going to sit there and say, well, we took it in the shorts this last year to the tune of about 30% because we sucked up all of this, all of these uninsured costs. And so, well, what do you mean? Well, that's what we did. Well, why didn't we make any money? Well, because we took all, you know, we took a hit. We took a hit. You go out and raise the premiums. Well, I don't know if that's the right thing. You're fired. That's what happens. What do you mean you didn't want to do that? What are you all of a sudden getting a conscience? Raise the premiums on everybody else so we can get the money back. I'm not in this business for my health. Oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, you get it. You get it now. Get it with somebody else, man. You're fired. Now, that's what happened. Now we require people to have auto insurance so that when that guy, that person who didn't have insurance, suddenly runs into the back end of a SUV and murders every child inside and everything is just hell on earth, there is some liability coverage. He has money that will cover up to a certain amount. What happened to those people? He pays for it through his insurance company. Okay. So that's why health insurance is required. To limit the liability, to limit what it costs the rest of us when somebody isn't insured and they have to have health care. Now, unlike auto insurance, you could argue that a guy trashes his car, who cares, right? Well, I don't, and you don't, and we shouldn't. However, I do care if he trashes his car by way of driving it through my living room. Then I care. I don't care if he totaled his wagon. But he totaled it by driving it through my house. So I want to know, well, so you got any money for this? What do you mean? Well, you're paying for, you just drove your car through my house. Yeah, my car's totaled. Hey, that's really too bad. I really feel for you, man. But you drove it directly through my home into my pool. So you have to pay me. Oh, okay, that's why you have insurance? Yeah, great. Well, hi there, Charlie. Are you sick? Yeah, my appendix, it exploded in my abdomen. I'm filling with poison. I'm going to die. All right, I'm going to fix you because I can't let you die, but somebody's going to have to pay. Well, quit talking about it. Fix me. Okay, bang, bang, bang. You're fixed. Great. Who's paying? Oh, you go to the insurance company. The hospital. The hospital goes to the state, or it goes to the insurance companies that are involved, and somehow it gets the money to pay for this procedure, and the insurance companies and the state, well, they got to make back their dollar, right? So guess what they do, man? They stick it to you and me. There's a liability involved here, folks. What we're trying to do is limit this so it doesn't cost us an arm and a leg, if you'll pardon the pun. We'll take your calls next. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, I can only repeat what we've said so many times in this show. This is a really interesting debate, guys, not because health insurance is all that fascinating a topic. It's about as dry a topic. It's about as dull a topic as God ever allowed to be discussed at a Starbucks. But so much hangs on this issue, and so much in terms of the way the country moves forward hangs on this. And there are so many interesting aspects to this that people don't think about. And there are so many precedents, and by precedent, I mean there are so many things that have come before that validate the idea of some kind of a national health safety net system, whatever the hell you want to call it, right? And not to mention the fact that at the end of the day, this is the defining. I mean, we're not, you know, we haven't even gotten out of the car yet, man. I mean, the air conditioner isn't even turned off yet. And this is the defining issue of the Obama administration. This is the defining issue in the early years of what someday will be known as the Obama presidency, right? Years from now, when children are reading about this period in American history, they'll say, and the big issue right out of the gate, man, I mean, they hadn't even saddled the horse yet. The jockeys were barely on their asses, and bang, gate opens up. Healthcare, 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 healthcare. Got to get this thing passed. Obama knows it. He decided, why do you think he decided to just come jamming out of the gate on this one? Because, as he had said himself, we've been talking about this so long, man, we're blue in the face with this thing. We've been talking about this until we've talked it to death. Year in, year out, decade in, decade out, talking about healthcare, healthcare, healthcare. I'm going to get this done. I'm coming right out of the gate with this thing, right off the curb with it. And I will die. I'll fall on my sword, man, if this thing doesn't happen. I mean, he has pretty much said that he is ready for a one-term presidency. He realizes this could kill him at the polls in 2012. If this thing blows up in his face, he has decided that this is it, man. This is the rocket ship that he's riding. And if it gets into outer space, great. If the thing crashes and burns, so be it. This is it. It's interesting when a president is single-minded about an issue. George Bush was the same way about protecting America after 9/11. People got pissed off. They thought the Constitution was this, that, and something else. Everybody was a brain surgeon all of a sudden. Everybody was a constitutional lawyer. Everyone knew this and everyone knew that. But Bush stuck to his guns. This is what he was going to do. Obama's the same way. You can love him. You can hate him. You can like him, not like him. This is what he's going to do. All right. Why do I support him? Why do I support him on this issue? Because I recognize that what he's essentially saying is a fact. We're spending more and more money on this thing called healthcare. There's no end in sight. It is gobbling up more and more of our disposable wealth. We could be doing other things with that money. We look around us. We look at other countries. They seem to be getting along pretty well with something called a national healthcare plan, and it differs from country to country. We realize that everybody it needs healthcare. Everybody has we've already pretty much decided everyone has a right to a doctor if they're dying. If they go into the emergency room and they fall flat on their face and they're bleeding from every hole and the doctor picks them up and treats them, we say, okay, that's cool. You have a right to do that. So we've already decided as a country, as a society, people are entitled to that kind of care. It doesn't matter whether you're a conservative or a liberal. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or whatever the hell it is people want to call themselves these days. I could care less. We've already decided, all of us en masse, yes, a guy walks in, falls flat on his face, bleeding from his rear end and everywhere else. The guy gets a doctor. All right. So we're agreed on that, right? Yes. Now, who's paying for that? Well, I guess we do. Okay, and you're happy with that. Well, you're not happy with that? Well, I'm happier with that than I would be with a national health care plan. And why would you be happier with that? Because it's taxation without representation. Now, hold the phone, Charlie, because a minute ago you told me that you're not really happy with having a health insurance company willy-nilly whenever they feel like it. Yesterday, tomorrow, when the sun's out, when it isn't out, when a guy, you know, he's got a hangnail, he decides he's going to jack the premiums on your ass because, you know, there's so many millions of people going into health, going into emergency rooms or visiting doctors who don't have health insurance. But you're okay with that, but you don't dig Congress debating the topic and possibly coming up with something that makes a little bit more sense. Maybe we can force these costs down. Some kind of a counterbalance, sort of a counterweight against these spiraling health care costs because of uninsured people. We already know that we have mandatory auto insurance so that the rest of us don't have to go into hock paying auto insurance premiums because, you know, half of these jackasses don't have auto insurance and they're wrapping their cars around trees every other day. So we've said, you gotta have this. Well, I don't want to have it. I can't afford it. There's all kinds of auto insurance. Well, the same thing now with health insurance. You gotta have it. Well, when I can't afford it and everything, well, all right, now we're going to do three things. We're going to do three things. You mean it's like Canada, right? No, it ain't like Canada. Although, I hate to break the news because this is going to come as a horrifying realization for a lot of people. And you can check this out. Doesn't matter to me. In Canada, if you want to go to your private doctor and pay for the visit and pay out of your own pocket and pay, you know, for a doctor's visit, you don't want to wait, you can go and you can do that. Nobody's telling you gotta wait for this, that, or something else. You want to go to a doctor and have it done? You can go to a doctor and have it done. But the national plan in Canada has a system in place, and if you have a life-threatening illness or condition, you get right to the front of the line. You get that treated. I don't give a damn what you've been told. That's exactly what happens. I don't care what some jackass said on a TV commercial that was liberally edited and essentially just ripped, just completely ripped the guts out of the truth. Some TV commercial by some PAC telling us that the people of Canada hate their health care. It's bull crap. Just flat, I'd use a stronger word, but you know what happens when that happens. You know what happens if you tell too much truth, right? So what do? We got private insurance. That's not going away. You'll always have your private insurance. You can have your private insurance until you rot in the ground. Nobody cares. Have your private insurance. Have a ball with your private insurance. Go to your private insured doctor every day of your life if you want to go. Oh, I can't afford that. Really? Well, here's option two. But I don't want that national deal. All right. There's a national exchange. A national brokerage. Well, what is that? You go to this place and they say, what can you afford? Here are different health care plans that the United States government feels are good plans because they have prescription medicine, doctor visits, hospitalization, dental. They have it all. They'll cover your family. We believe these are great plans and they're affordable. Aha. I don't even think I can afford that. All right. Then when push comes to shove, we have a national plan in place. That is doctors who are reimbursed by the government. Well, how are you paying for that? All right, we're going to pay for it in the following ways. And these are just ideas now because the plan hasn't even been voted on yet. There is a health care plan that has to be debated and voted on, and by the time they get done with it, they might have ripped the guts out of it for all I know. Obama may veto the damn thing, but you can look at it online. It's there. And one of the ways they're going to pay for it is by trimming costs away from Medicare and Medicaid by a $289 billion deficit that extends over 10 years. So that's roughly $28 billion a year in deficit spending to cover this plan, to get it up and running, after which it is deficit neutral. Do you understand? It cannot lose money. There is a proposal that sin taxes pay for this. And what is that? Guys like Phil Hendry. I smoke cigarettes. They're going to tax the hell out of the cigarettes to the point where I don't smoke them anymore, and then I don't know what they're going to do. But the sin taxes, pop, beer, cigarettes. And then the increase in income tax for those making more than 350 G's a year. If you're a family, $280,000 a year if you're single. And there are other ideas that they've floated. But these are essentially the four basic funding avenues that I have heard consistently mentioned. Now, why a national health plan and why this national exchange? So that people have other options besides the more costly insurance, so that if enough people opt for these options and they work well, the big insurers will lower their price and the cost of health insurance will be controlled. In other words, this kind of a competition or countermeasure or counterweight will hopefully encourage the more expensive plans to become cheaper, all right? Why don't people do that now? Aren't there these cheap insurance companies? Yeah, there are, but there's very, very little opportunity for people to avail themselves. They don't know how many there are. They don't know where they are. They don't know what's involved. There's a great deal of homework that's involved. And frankly, you know, when it comes to health insurance, we've all been taught it's not a right. It's a privilege. And if you don't have it, it's not necessarily a thing that's going to kill you, although it will. And who cares? You know, so American people have never really been encouraged to think in these directions. All of that money that we're spending right now, folks, on health insurance, covering the 40 million or however many it is that are not insured, and helping these insurance companies, you know, make their money because they're capped at 10%, 10% of what they take in. So they got to take in more. So the 10% becomes bigger. All of that bread that we're spending is around 15, 16, 17% of the gross domestic product. It's way, way, way too high, man. Pretty soon it's going to be 20. Pretty soon it's going to be a whole quarter of the GDP. What's that money? What is that money doing going into the pockets of health insurance companies and others, doctors, when there is a way to control this thing, especially when everybody has to have health insurance or you die? Everyone we already know is entitled to health care. So why not just, you know, split the difference and get them health insurance? Otherwise, what are we doing? That money we could be spending making this country competitive with our businesses, different industries, entrepreneurial efforts or not, education, investment, however you want to look at it, so that the country's competitive over the next 100 years. This is going to be one son of a bitch of a century. We've got emerging democracies and economies around the globe that are really going to be giving us a run for our money. It's the, you know, it's the game is on. Now, what do we want to do? We can sit here thumbing it and pretend like it's still the 18th century and we're just, you know, we're out there and we're milking the cows and having ourselves a great time. Or we can get with it, man, and be the America we've always been, a country that looks ahead, not backward, takes a look at what the landscape is, and we say, well, here's how we're going to negotiate our way through this thing, and this is the best possible way to do it. This is how we're going to save our money. This is how we're going to put more money in our pockets. People are against the national health idea, whether it's the option or, you know, public option or not, because we just think it's un-American, because we don't think that health insurance is a right. Let me ask you a question. Is drinking water a right? Do we deny drinking water to any human being in this country, even if they can't afford to pay their water bill? Even if they can't afford to pay their water bill, you realize that we've got all kinds of plans so that people don't have to spend more than 5 cents a month sometimes just to get water into their house. Is electricity a right? Well, we provide electricity to everybody. We have food stamps so people won't go hungry. We have subsidized food banks. We're already doing these things in terms of a national support structure for things that we consider to be vital for life. And yet when it comes to health insurance, we buck. We say, well, it's commie and it's weird and I don't get it, man. Is it too expensive? Is that the problem? If you take a look at the entire issue, you realize that going this route, it makes things a hell of a lot cheaper in the long run than the way we're going right now. We got welfare, we got food stamps, we've got plans for people to get gas and electricity and water into their homes. There's not a human being in the United States of America that is denied the essentials for living. Not one human being in this country is denied the very substance of life, except for the idea of being insured as opposed to just crawling in on your hands and knees to an emergency room when your life is about extinguished. Why wait for that to happen and have that cost passed along to you and me when we can insure that person from the gate and over time reduce the cost for all of us? Why? Why? Because it's socialism. Well, I'm here to tell you, man, there ain't a whole hell of a lot we do in this country that ain't socialism anymore. From public education to the way that we conduct our business statewide, nationally, from border security to police to just about everything, dealing with the poor, dealing with low-income seniors. We've got all kinds of social nets, and we have no problem with these. Not at all, because we realize they are essential for life. When it comes to insurance, somehow we don't get it. All right, that's my pitch. I'm done. We'll take some phone calls. 877-876-PHIL. I think I explained the public option. Did I, bud?
Not at all, but it still was pretty interesting.
Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. And Van Jones resigned. Not that anybody cares, but we'll talk about that coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, we not just talk about health care, we actually practice it. That's why I am on the MetaFast diet. I know I've been telling you guys about MetaFast now for a couple of months because I have lost a total of 30 pounds, and I'm kind of dragging my ass on this thing, man. If I wanted to, I could lose up to 20 pounds a month. And you know what? I'm going to kick it into high gear here, bud. I figured that I'm going to go whole hog, if you'll pardon the expression, with my MetaFast meals, 5 MetaFast meals a day, and, of course, my Lean and Green.
Yeah, I've seen you eat the Lean and Green with a steak and everything.
Well, I had a... What did I have the other night? Steak and what?
Yeah, I seen the broccoli.
Yeah, you had steak and broccoli or something.
I love steak and broccoli, man. I could eat steak and broccoli for breakfast, although the farts. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we had steak and broccoli, steak and, you know, I like my Lean and Green meal will be chicken some nights, some salmon some nights, and then my 5 MetaFast meals, and you choose from all kinds of delicious, low-fat, high-protein, high-fiber, and fortified with vitamin and nutrient meals from MetaFast, and they offer over 70 meal options. I get them every month or so. I've got a new bunch of MetaFast meals for my cream of broccoli soup. I love the chili that they have. They got a beef vegetable stew. They've even got cheese puffs. They've got pretzel sticks. They've got snack items as well as lunch items and shakes and bars and desserts. So you have these 5 MetaFast meals, and then you have your Lean and Green meal. And, brother, you're losing up to 20 pounds a month, man. Now, don't take my word for it. This was recommended and has been recommended by over 15,000 doctors since 1980. That's how long MetaFast has been helping people lose weight. 15,000 doctors since 1980, and it was developed by a physician to help you lose weight in a healthy way so you get what you need each and every day, and you learn how to eat healthier. And what can be wrong with that, okay? MetaFast offers over 70 meal options. I want you to go to this website right now and lose weight with Phil here, MetaFastPhil.com. MetaFastPhil.com. I just got into another pair of pants I hadn't been able to get into for, I don't know, don't say it, man.
I was going to ask you whose pants they were.
In any event, I just got into another pair of pants that I hadn't been into for, like, I don't know, 3 years or something. It's happening that fast. Let me tell you what, MetaFastPhil.com, that's MetaFastPhil.com. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and let's go over to a phone call before we lose track of the time here. Steve in Indianapolis. Steve, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, brother, listen, I heard this on the radio the other day and was only lightly touched, and I think it needs more investigation. But as I understand the process on the health care bill, I think it's a smokescreen because the only thing he has to do is get something passed. It doesn't matter what's in the bill. He has to get a health care plan passed by the House and the Senate. It then goes to committee. When it goes to committee, they can then rewrite it, retool it, do anything they want to make it what they want, including having a public option, even if it wasn't voted in to begin with. And I think that committee option, or what happens in committee, needs to be explored by people like you and start being talked about, because I think...
Well, they're already in committee with it. They're already in committee with it. They're in the Senate Finance Committee with it right now.
according to the guy on the TV.
But whatever goes into the committee's got to be voted on by the House and the Senate anyway. They don't just pass a bill and then they retool the bill in the committee and then say, okay, that's the bill, and then the president gets it and signs it. When they, you know, they have an opportunity to vote on a bill. If they have a problem with some parts of it, then they go back and they fix it, and then they re-vote on it.
Well, that's exactly the point, though, that he was saying. And again, I only heard...
What do you mean he was saying? Who's this? Who was talking about this?
He was on one of the hosts of Fox News, but saying that that after it gets voted on, it goes back to committee for the final review, and he can make whatever changes that he wants, regardless of whether we've actually voted that part of the bill in or not. I don't know if it's true.
No, wrong. That's wrong. No, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Well, I wish that was
no, they got to vote on the bill. They got to vote on the bill, and then it goes to the president, and then he looks at it, and then he wipes his rear end with it, and he says, "I'm vetoing this thing because it doesn't have in it what I said I wanted to have in it," and it goes back to the Congress.
Well, that's fine. I had 2 points to make, but
you got to understand. This is one of the the fight is so the fight is so organic to the Senate and to the House of Representatives. Nothing's going to get changed in a committee where Republican Congress people aren't going to want to see what it is before it goes to the president for his signature. Nobody on John Boehner's side or on Mitch McConnell's side is going to say, "Oh, that's fine. You guys just change it any way you want. You go ahead and send it on to the president. We don't care." That ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Anyway, Steve, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. It's a good question. It is a good question. I'm glad you brought it up. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. World famous Phil Hendry Show coming back next hour with more. Van Jones fired or got quitted. One of the two.
Phil Hendry.
I think he got quitted.